GoDaddy.com. Use the code POD139, that's POD139, for 10% off GoDaddy hosting. GoDaddy.com. Tango Tango Papa 1149, September 1, 2009.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from an Ohio Service Plaza on the Ohio Turnpike near Genoa, Ohio. Of course, I spent the night last night It was on a Service Plaza Turnpike in Indiana. And so I woke up, it was about 1 o'clock this afternoon, Central Time when I woke up. Then I went on over to Manteno, Illinois, and dropped the loaded trailer, picked up the empty trailer, and in the meantime they sent a load that picked up in Chicago, a drop and hook load. That delivers to, some place in New Jersey, one of those towns along the New Jersey Turnpike, not that far from New York City. It's kind of south of New York City area. So, and it's supposed to be there Wednesday at noon Eastern time. So after I dropped and hooked the load this evening in Chicago, then I had to get busy and get moving and make as many miles, knock it down so that I've got about 550 more miles to drive basically on Tuesday, probably maybe even into Wednesday morning, kind of depending on how late of a start I get, make it over there to where the load goes, and then as I say, it's got a noon delivery appointment, so should be doable. I was kind of surprised at how cool it's been. Last night when I stopped, the temperature was in the 50s. And it's that way again this evening. Now, my friend Ken, that lives over in Lincoln, Nebraska, had emailed me earlier today, and he said that in some parts of Nebraska, the temperature was down in the, you know, around 30 degrees or in the 30s. And I'd say fall is here. We're going to have an early fall, apparently. There are some places in the country that really sort of felt cheated out of summer. It never really got, they never really got much summer weather. And then, of course, there were other parts of the country that did, you know, they did get their summer weather. The weather is just one of those things that is never really the same. It's from year to year. Or just day to day, it can vary quite a bit, and it's just not something that's really predictable very far, you know, other than just broad generalizations. So, but it's apparent that we're going to have an early fall, and probably maybe an early winter and a cold winter. You know, it's, you know, the last, I don't know, the last couple of winters, I think, have been more severe than they had been for a while. And we do seem to be moving into a period of time where things are kind of cooling down, you know, so much for global warming. It's, I'd say that certainly makes that that stupid idea a tougher sell. So anyway, so I'm on my way back to the East Coast, back over into New Jersey, and so, you know, that's, seems to, as just, you know, lately, for the past number of months, I seem to be in the eastern part of the country almost all of the time. I haven't been, can't even remember the last time I actually went west, you know. Made it, I think, as far west as probably around Lincoln, Nebraska, in that area. And that's about as far northwest as I've gotten, you know, in quite some time. And, you know, occasionally, I guess I've made it down, you know, I made it down to Dallas and then, you know, maybe to Waco in that area. Once in a while I make it down there, but that's about as far west as I, that I've been in quite some time. So, but as I've said before, it really doesn't matter to me. They're keeping me, about as busy right now as I want to be. One of the reasons I kind of drug my feet getting to Manteno, Illinois, was the fact that, you know, I don't want to bump up on the, you know, against the hours on my logbook, because I was kind of, you know, not really bumping up against it, but I was kind of getting a little, you know, it was kind of getting a little closer, and so I just decided I might as well just kind of pace myself and not really push as hard as I could, because then once I got there, then I, you know, I don't want to run out of hours, so it's just better if I have the time to kind of not push so hard. And of course I have to log everything in, kind of the logbook has to match the Qualcomm truck position history. So, and they do audit that, and so I just kind of have to do everything in real time, and you know, and not try to cheat the system. And you know, I don't like having to bump up against the logbook hours of service, because you know, it's just, it causes problems. So anyway, so today, the past couple of days, I've actually, instead of listening to podcasts, my friend Scott had sent me a bunch of voice files, you know, and so he and I will periodically exchange voice files. And so I've been kind of, you know, it's kind of like an asynchronous conversation. I'll listen to, you know, to his voice files, and then, you know, periodically I'll stop it and then record a response, and then I start it playing again, and, you know, and that happens dozens of times. And then I, you know, I package those files up and send them off to him, and through the, you know, been using the Dropbox service. Have a private Dropbox with him, and so I just package them up and send them off to him, and you know, and so then he gets them. And but in any case, it's, you know, it's very beneficial. I find it very beneficial to do that, to go through that process, because it often causes me to kind of explain myself better, and I come up with some, as I'm making the responses to him, sometimes I'll come up with some better, really better, or different explanations. And kind of one of the things that we've kind of talked about this is kind of an ongoing discussion, has been the idea of, the God and the Bible and so on and so forth. And, what is the gold standard for human behavior? And, Scott tends to argue that it's not quite as cut and dried, that it's more shades of gray. And, I've been trying to get across the point and perhaps not doing as good of a job as I could, that, using the terminology that I use, as far as, kind of conscience being the gold standard. And how do you define conscience? When I was making a response today, I came up with a little bit different, it's the same concept, but it's a little bit different terminology. Because the word God and worship and all of the words in the Bible are, people have kind of pumped so much meaning into those and kind of twisted the words around and so on and so forth. Oftentimes people will kind of have a knee-jerk reaction to that. And so, Scott sometimes is in discussion, he tries to talk to people that have, maybe an opposite viewpoint. Maybe they're atheists, and there are people that are atheists that almost turn atheism into a religion. And oftentimes these people, are quite often they're talking about evolution and so on and so forth, and they just believe that evolution is somehow it just all magically everything just fell into the right place and everything just sort of happened at random, which is pretty absurd from my point of view. But nonetheless, the idea that I came up with today is, for people that, don't want to believe in God, well, that's fine. People that don't want to believe in, any kind of intelligent design, that's fine too. But they believe in evolution, and they think that evolution is just the be-all, end-all. Okay, well, that's fine too, because I do believe that we did evolve somehow. I've really come to believe that we did evolve, and that evolving has been, obviously, it's pretty obvious to me that it's directed. It just didn't happen. But even so, for the people that believe in evolution, and they kind of almost turn it into a religion, maybe particularly for those people that turn evolution into a religion, I've come up with a little bit different, not really a different concept, but a different terminology. And it's obvious, that animals, if you just take every creature on this planet, excluding human beings, it's obvious that animals have programming, and that programming is called instinct, and they all have it. Every single one of them has some sort of an instinct, something directing them, some sort of programming, something programmed their brains, and they have these instincts. So therefore, why is it, you would think that human beings would also have some sort of instinct, now we do have an animal nature, but we also have it. We're different, obviously, from all the other creatures on this planet. We are different, and it's more than just having bigger brains, and opposable thumbs. So, if we believe in evolution, then how can we, you know, if the animals, all every animal has its programming, then why wouldn't evolution also supply human beings with programming? And the fact of the matter is that it does, with the exception that human beings can make the next sort of evolutionary leap by kind of, you know, it's a choice you have to make by, you know, there's this, instead of calling it God or conscience, we'll call it latent programming. And latent sort of means that it's sort of I suppose I could look up the dictionary definition of that, but you know, sort of latent, sort it's not immediate, it comes after, it sort of comes afterwards, you know. So there is this sort of latent programming that is available to every human being that, you know, is so inclined to want to pursue that. But otherwise, you end up with external programming. You know, you're programmed by your environment. You're programmed by the people, places, and things, and how that works, the mechanism of that, is exactly as I've always said. It's through resentment. People resent. You resent people, places, and things. We come into this world kind of wanting to be our own programmer, wanting to be our own God, really, but wanting to be our own programmer. And that is really what is wrong with human, you know, what is the flaw in human nature. We want to be our own programmer, and as a result, we end up with these severely bloated egos. The wrong side of our ego develops, and you see the chaos that results, because you have 6 billion warring egos at each other's throats. So it's up to us to make the choice to drop resentment and, you know, stop trying to be our own programmer, drop resentment, because if you drop resentment, then you stop being a slave of the external programming, the swill that's around all of us. All of us are around, to one degree or another, we're all around toxic people, you know, and we do end up becoming toxic to one degree or another ourselves. We end up becoming toxic people. And of course, the more you resent, the more resentment that you have, and resentment comes packaged with denial, you end up with, taking that on, that external, the wrong programming, you end up taking the wrong programming on, and you're not who you could have been had you learned not to resent. And then you know, if you can really learn not to resent and not to try to play God in your own mind, then there is a latent programming available, and that's basically God, but you know, there is this, you know, you can call it evolution if you want to. There is a latent programming available, and it's a superior programming, you know, and we can become completely different creatures than what we are, as far as because it's obvious that we're pretty toxic the way we are. So if we want to give up that toxicity, then it's going to require that we drop resentment. And and also implicit in that drop the pride that we have in our bloated egos and what we become, the toxic creatures that we become. So that's a little bit different way of looking at it, and I don't know if, you know, if I could find a kind of an intellectually honest atheist, someone that really believed, genuinely believed, that everything was just a random happenstance, you know, as to why this world exists, why this universe exists, why we exist. They just believe that it's all random, and they're, you know, that it just somehow happened, and honestly believe that there was no possibility that there's any kind of creator that brought us into existence or sustains our existence, but it just sort of all happened. But they really believe in evolution and how intelligent, obviously, Mother Nature is, because there's a lot of intelligence in Mother Nature. You can't really deny that. It's amazingly intelligent. You know how, you know, the design of creatures and so on and so forth. So therefore, why would Mother Nature, why would evolution create human beings and supply us with such bad programming? The fact of the matter is that it doesn't supply us with bad programming. We are screwing up our own programming. If you want to look at it that way, we have the choice to screw up our own programming. Animals, other creatures on this world that are alive, can't screw up their own programming. They don't have a choice. They're just got their programming, and that's it. But human beings have the opportunity to screw up their own programming. Now, so it would be interesting to be able to argue, you know, make this argument with an intellectually honest atheist and see what they had to really say about it, you know. And I'm sure some of them would say, oh, you're bringing God back into it. Well, let's just kind of, if, you know, do a little thought experiment and kind of just take the word God out and forget about that and just talk about evolution. Why would evolution not supply human beings, you know, since it supplied us with these great big brains and opposable thumbs, why would it, and the ability to do language, why would it not also supply us with a superior programming? You know, and I wish that I had an intellectually honest, not sort of atheist that, you know, is kind of non-emotional and could really make arguments that were, you know, the way I'm able to, you know, the way I'm able to discuss. You know, I may sound passionate about certain things, but I'm not getting angry when I make the arguments. I'm not getting, you know, I may be try to be as persuasive as possible, and I may seem passionate, but I'm not resenting as someone it challenges me. I'm able to just simply remain perfectly calm and rational, as even though I may sound passionate. So I would like to find, you know, if I possibly could, someone on the, you know, that was just diametrically opposed that could do the same thing. And so far, you know, I haven't really ran into a person like that. So, in any case, it's an interesting, you know, it's just an interesting, a different way of thinking about the same thing, you know, and kind of taking all of the language of the Bible and God and so on and so forth, sort of setting that aside and arguing in different terms. There's a lot of good stuff in the Bible, don't get me wrong, you know, there's a lot of good stuff in there, but people do severely kind of get wrapped up in it. Now, there the fact of the matter, you know, and another thing I was ended up talking to Scott about, you know, in those voice files was, you know, it's possible to misuse anything. It's possible to make a religion out of anything. And so what people, there it seems like a fair number of people do in conventional religion is they wrap themselves in God and they wrap themselves in verses and chapters and so on and so forth. And they're kind of wrapping their ego up in a, you know, all of the external trappings, and then, you know, they kind of all get together and you know, and sort of, you know, they sort of, you know, it's kind of like going to a bar and, you know, and you got your drinking buddy there, you know, and so they go to the church bar instead, you know, and they get all the external, they got all the external trappings, and, you know, in the meantime, they've still got they've got their bloated ego is getting worse. Well, people can do the same exact thing with, the idea of evolution and atheism. And they can almost turn that into a religion. You know, it does become kind of a religion. But they wrap themselves all up in that, and they hang out with other people that think the same way and say the same words and make the same noises. But they're wrapping they're doing the same thing. They're wrapping their bloated egos up in other things, and, you know, in kind of different looking clothing, as it were, different ideas, and you know, so, but it's just interesting. It's interesting to kind of think in different terms, and as I say, you know, I really believe that some sort of evolution did take place. I think that's really obvious. But I do believe that, you know, it was, you know, the evolution just didn't happen. It wasn't random. And it's not, the universe just isn't a random thing. It, you know, if you look at it, it all is, it's on an, you know, there's just an incredible order to it. And it's quite an amazing thing. Another thing I was, you know, and I've thought about this for a while. You know, when you look up at the night sky, and you see those stars, and a lot of those stars are, you know, how far away are they? You know, millions, millions, and millions of miles away. And, you know, in some cases, that light that you see at, you know, when you look up, you just happen to randomly look up at the night sky, the light that you see may have taken, you know, God knows how many years or how much distance that light crossed. And then those photons, you know, you just kind of randomly look up and you see them. They enter your eye. And, you know, and they come to their final, you know, they end right there. I guess they bounce off somewhere else, and but they're gone. You know, they lose their impact. You know, I don't know what happens to a photon after we, you know, after it really bounces off your, you know, the retina of your eye. What happens to it? It just kind of dies. But it's interesting. You know, we look up and we see that, and that light traveled all that distance over all those years, and, you know, it ends suddenly. That's kind of an interesting idea, but I don't know. There's just something interesting about that. I don't really know what it is. Can't put my finger on it. But there's something really interesting about that idea that when you look up at the night sky and you see a star, that light, you know, traveled all that distance and then it entered your eye, and that's pretty much the end of it. You know, It lights up, causes your brain to see it, and then that's it. It's gone. It has no more. Existence, that, at least that I know of. So, but anyway, I've got some a few news stories that I thought I'd go through. Obama aides see need for more troops in Afghanistan. Let me, should have had my reading glasses. Hang on, let me grab those. Oh, man. Yeah, let me get those on, and then that way I can see what I'm reading. Let's see. White House wariness reflects waning public support. Obama needs to prepare U.S. public for troop increase. Commanding general calls for fresh strategy. Many of President Barack Obama's top advisors on Afghanistan agree with military commanders that more troops are needed to reverse Taliban gains in the country's east and south, U.S. officials said on Monday, but there is wariness within the White House to another large-scale increase of at a time when public support for the right 8-year-old war against a resurgent Taliban is eroding, the officials said, speaking on condition of anonymity. So this kind of goes on, and so I don't know. It's a seems like it's a morass. Let's see. U.S. NATO must change to win Afghan war, says commander. Could it be that our enemies see that we, we've got weak leadership, and then they resurge? Has anybody thought about that? Senate Democrats push back climate measure schedule. The chief Senate sponsors of a bill aimed at curbing global warming have pushed back its introduction from next week until later in September. Democrat Senators Barbara Boxer of California and John Kerry of Massachusetts in an emailed statement today cited Kerry's hip surgery this month, the death of Senator Kennedy, and the debate over health care legislation as reasons for the delay. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, a Nevada Democrat, said in July that he wanted the committee with jurisdiction over the measure to complete their work by September 28. Boxer, the chairman of the Environment and Public Works Committee, said earlier this month that she would introduce her plan next week so it could be approved by the committee before the end of September. Boxer and Kerry are working diligently to craft a well-balanced bill, and Senator Reid fully expects the Senate to have an ample time to consider this comprehensive clean energy and climate legislation before the end of the year. Jim Manley, a spokesman for Reid, said in an emailed statement today, the House passed a cap-and-trade bill in June that would require power plants, factories, oil refineries, and others to reduce emissions 17% below 2005 levels by 2020. So, I don't know. It's a mess. The communists are in charge. GM to form China venture invests $293 million. Shanghai. General Motors said on Sunday it has agreed to set up a light commercial vehicle production venture with major Chinese automaker FAW Group with a total investment of 2 billion yuan. I guess it's yuan. $293 million. The 50-50 joint venture based in the northeast China city of Changchun in Jilin province will make light-duty trucks and vans, GM said in a statement, for us in China. This is an important complement to the rest of our portfolio, Kevin Whale, president and managing director for GM's China operations, told reporters at a conference call. We are well established in passenger vehicles and many commercial vehicles, and we haven't had a presence in the truck segment. Adding a truck portfolio rounds that out. The venture will use two existing FAW plants in Changchun and the city of Harbin, also in the northeast, with combined annual capacity of roughly 90,000 vehicles, Whale said. So that's where the manufacturing's going. Nothing new there. Mobile towers threatening honeybees in Kerala. And this is from, I believe this is from India. Mobile towers are posing a threat to honeybees in Kerala. With the electromagnetic radiation from mobile towers and cell phones having the potential to kill worker bees that go out and collect nectar from flowers, says a study. A plunge in beehive population has been reported from different parts of Kerala, and if measures are not taken to check mushrooming of mobile towers, mobile powers, I think they must have not translated this right, bees could be wiped out from Kerala within a decade, environmentalist and reader in zoology, Dr. Sanadine Potsay, something or other, says in his study. In one of his experiments, he found that when a mobile phone was kept near a beehive, it resulted in collapse of the colony in 5 to 10 days, with the worker bees failing to return home, leaving the hives with just queens, eggs, and hive-bound immature bees. Pittsburgh paper to launch members-only website. U.S. newspaper publishers, Mole changing or charging readers on the web, a Pennsylvania daily announced plans on Monday to put some content behind a paywall. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette said PG Plus would be a members-only website with interactive features and exclusive content available to subscribers for $36 a year for $3.99 a month. It said PG Plus would not replace PostGazette.com, the newspaper's current website, but it would feature a news stream of exclusive blogs, videos, live chats, and behind-the-scenes insights into the news of the day. The PostGazette will continue to provide its mix of content and would remain free, the newspaper said. The PostGazette move comes as newspapers across the United States grapple with a steep plunge in print advertising revenue, steadily declining circulation, and the migration of readers to free news online. According to the Los Angeles Times, Rupert Murdoch's media giant News Corp is holding talks with other leading newspaper publishers on forming a consortium that would charge for news online and on portable devices, the newspaper said. News Corp's chief digital officer, Jonathan Miller, is believed to have met with representatives of the New York Times Company, Washington Post Company, Hearst Corporation, and Tribune Company, publisher of the Los Angeles Times. Media analysts have been engaged in fierce debate over whether readers would be willing to pay for news online after becoming accustomed to so many years to getting it for free. Now, what they're going to, they're doing this PG Plus. That's interesting because it's sort of a value-added service. And they may be able, they might get somewhere with that, possibly. It just depends on what they put in there. But I just don't see newspapers, you know, it's not going to be the same as it was back when, before the internet, when you had the million-dollar printing presses and the million-dollar transmitters, you know, when those things could kind of guarantee that you would have an audience and you'd be able to stay in business if it was halfway well, halfway decently managed. The internet obviously just radically changes the equation, and it's obvious that there are people that are making a living from the internet, and some organizations are doing quite well. You know, take a look at Google, for example, but and some other ones. But on the other hand, and plus, there's a lot of individuals that are doing well too with various internet-based businesses. So, the conventional newspaper, probably, I just don't see them, the way they're currently structured and the way they have been structured in the past, that probably can't be structured that way. It's going to have to change somehow, and they're going to end up being different organizations. And, and then the other problem is that they tend, most newspaper publishers the newspapers do tend to be fairly liberal, and they kind of tend to look down on people that disagree with them. Think their readers, in some cases, it's obvious that they think their readers are stupid and so on and so forth, and they're trying to, instead of just reporting the news, they're trying to kind of convert them to liberalism, and people have a lot more choices today than they had in the past. So that kind of figures into it, too. If you're going to have a product, you've got to be able to make that product, create value so that people want it. And it's obvious that they're not doing a very good value creation. They're not doing too good at creating value, because it was easier when they had their monopoly, when the printing press, the million-dollar printing press and million-dollar studios made it easier, because television broadcasters and radio broadcasters are finding the same problem. It was easier when they had their monopoly, but the monopoly is kind of falling apart, and they're going to have to do a better job of creating value, or they'll just go away. Newsstand magazine sales continue to drop. Newsstand sales of U.S. magazines are continuing to fall. An industry group says single copy sales fell 12% in the first half of this year compared with the same period in 2008. Total circulation, including subscriptions, edged down 1%. The figures are being released Monday by the Audit Bureau of Circulation based on 521 magazines that gave circulation numbers for both years. The total circulation of those titles stands at roughly 340 million. About 36 million are sold at newsstands and the other retailers, but account for a disproportionate amount of publishers' revenue because subscriptions are discounted. Cosmopolitan is still the most popular magazine at newsstands, though sales fell nearly 8% to 1.6 million. Average single copy circulation at leading U.S. consumer magazines for the first half of 2009, among magazines that reported totals to the Audit Bureau of Circulations. And so they've got, this list. Cosmopolitan was on top, and then, they went down 7.8%. in their total circulation. People is the next one, and it went down 12.77%. Women's World is the third on the list. It went down 8.31%. Something called FIRST, which I've never heard of, is down 9.29%. U.S. Weekly is down 2.98%. InTouch Weekly, which I've never heard of, is down 17.67%. O, which is Oprah's magazine, is down 5.58%, which is interesting. Family Circle is down 22.55%. In Style, which is number 9 on the list that I've never heard of, is down 20.13%. Star is another one I've never heard of. Number 10 on the list is down 14.29%. National Enquirer is down 11.14%. Now that's really interesting, it's down. Glamour is down 14%. Men's Health is down 9.87%. People Style Watch is down 2.85%. Life and Style Weekly is down 7.82%. Good Housekeeping is down 17.68%. Women's Day, thought they mentioned that one. Oh no, that one's Women's World. Women's Day is down 22.38%. Weight Watchers is down 10.37%. OK Weekly, never heard of that, is down 20.41%. All You, never heard of that, that's number 20 on the list, is down 2.85%. Never heard a lot of these. Real Simple, number 21 on the list, is down 1.17%. Or no, it's up, actually. That's the only one I've seen that's up. It actually went up. Never heard of Real Simple. But it only sold 393,578 copies. Every Day with Rachel Ray is down 8.38%. Vogue is down 2.79%. Maxim is down 17.91%. And Vanity Fair is down 11.11%, so not too good for the magazine business. Now, I I used to buy magazines, and it's just something I very seldom do anymore, and I really don't know why, other than, one of the problems with magazines is that what do you do with them after you have them? I hate to throw stuff away like that. Eventually you have to, but I hate to throw that stuff away, but I don't want to collect it. And, and then the other problem is I really don't have time to sit and read it all that much. I'm pretty busy. Got a, pretty busy life, and I just don't have time to sit and read that stuff. I do, when I, obviously with all the driving I do have plenty of time to consume podcasts, and, and I'm getting a lot of information that way, the information that I'm, and entertainment that I'm looking for, I get most of it through podcasting, and so that kind of takes away the need to, like computer magazines are a good example. I used to subscribe to a number of different computer magazines, but, I don't need to do that anymore. Because by the time you get it, the information would be old, and besides that, don't really care that much anymore. Because I'm getting better information today than I was back when I was subscribing to the computer magazines, believe it or not, thinking about it, I'm up on more of the current, I'm more informed on the current information, the current tech world information than ever. And, and I don't have to go through the pain or the drudgery of buying a magazine. So I would suspect that a lot of people, are in this, the same, sort of in the same boat, So, it's kind of interesting. Let's see what else there was. Seller beware, feds cracking down on secondhand sales of some products. If you're planning a garage sale or organizing a church bazaar, you'd best beware. You could be breaking a new federal law. As part of a campaign called Resale Roundup, the federal government is cracking down on secondhand sales of dangerous and defective products. The initiative, which targets toys and other products for children, enforces a new provision that makes it a crime to resell anything that's been recalled by its manufacturer. Those who recall children's products are not only breaking the law, they are putting children's lives at risk, said Inez Tenenbaum, the recently confirmed chairwoman of the Consumer Product Safety Commission. The crackdown affects sellers ranging from major thrift store operations such as Goodwill and the Salvation Army to everyday Americans cleaning out their attics for yard sales, church bazaars, or increasingly digital hawking on eBay, Craigslist, and other websites. Secondhand sellers must now keep abreast of recalls for thousands of products, some of them stretching back more than a decade, to stay within the bounds of the law. Staffers for the federal agency are fanning out across the country to conduct training seminars on the regulations at dozens of thrift shops. Even before this law, we had good mechanisms in place for pulling recall products, said Jim Gibbons, the chief executive of Goodwill. The law just kicks it up a notch, so Goodwills around the country will continue to improve our process. Goodwill uses $2 billion in annual sales at its 2,300 thrift shops nationwide to pay for its job training and employment placement programs. Gibbons said the nonprofit group was accustomed to inspections from the Consumer Product Safety Commission making unannounced visits to its stores. Scott Wolfson, a spokesman for the agency, said it wouldn't be dispatching bureaucratic stormtroopers into private homes to see whether people were selling recalled products from their garages, yards, or churches. We're not looking to come across as being heavy-handed, he said. We want to make sure that everybody knows that the rules of engagement are here to help spur greater compliance so that enforcement becomes less of an issue, but we're still going to enforce. The agency is working with eBay, Wolfson said, to help the online sales giant install software filters that will flag auction items subject to manufacturer recalls. The Commission's Internet Surveillance Unit is monitoring Craigslist and other top auction and reselling sites for recalled goods. If the agency discovers that a recalled product has been sold online, it will try to find and inform the buyer, Wolfson said. To kick off its resale roundup, the federal agency released a list of the 11 most dangerous previously recalled children's products. The oldest is the March 10, 1993 recall of 11,600 portable cribs sold as Play School Travel Life Play Yards and made by Callcraft, an Aberdeen, North Carolina firm that's the nation's largest crib manufacturer. Adele Mayer is the executive director of the National Association of Resale and Thrift Shops, which represents more than 1,100 store owners. Even before it was criminal to resell recalled goods, our members have always been diligent because children's safety is always foremost in their minds, she said.
but having consumers look out for recalled products that are sold at garage sales and flea markets, that is a problem, and hopefully this law will help. Nancy Lathrop, a mother of two in Monroe, Washington, was surprised to learn that she might be violating the law by selling about $200 worth of Polly Pocket dolls and accessories on Craigslist that her 12-year-old daughter no longer wants. So here comes your federal government, handy-dandy federal government. They don't want you making any money at garage sales. Political punch. Let's see. ABC News exclusive national security advisor says President Obama is having greater success taking terrorists out of commission than Bush did. Well, whatever. I don't believe that, but we'll see. German politicians livid at Twitter vote leak. German politicians warned of a damage to democracy on Monday after exit polls for three state elections were leaked on Twitter. The second time in recent months results have appeared ahead of time. Exit poll results for key elections in Saarland, or something or other in Saxony, showing Chancellor Angela Merkel's conservatives had suffered strong setbacks, surfaced on the microblogging site around 90 minutes before officially due. So this kind of goes on. This is unacceptable, they said. So it's kind of interesting. Let's see what else there is. Hands-off plan. School banning touching to fight H1N1. That's in, I don't know where that's at. It says, Glen Cove District students urged to have no skin-on-skin contact with swine flu outbreak looming. Parents told to provide kids with tissues, hand sanitizer, and ibuprofen. Oh, man. Let's see. This might be interesting. this is from the, let's see, I guess it's Las Vegas Review-Journal. And this is an opinion piece by this guy's named Sherman Frederick. Enough is enough, Harry. Stop the childish bullying. I think he's talking about Harry Reid. We've seen cattle ranchers give way to railroads. We've chronicled the construction of the Hoover Dam. He's talking about their own newspaper. We reported on the first day of legalized gambling, the first hospital, the first school, the first church. We survived the mob, Howard Hughes, the Great Depression, several recessions, two world wars, dozens of news competitors, and any number of two-bit politicians who couldn't stand scrutiny, much less criticism. We're still here doing what we do for the people of Las Vegas and Nevada. So let me assure you, if we weathered all of that, we can damn sure outlast the bully threats of Senator Harry Reid. On Wednesday, before he addressed a Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce luncheon, Reid joined the chamber's board members for a meet and greet and a photo. One of the last in line was the Review Journal's director of advertising, Bob Brown, a hardworking Nevadan, who tolls every day on behalf of advertisers. He has nothing to do with the news coverage or the opinion pages of the Review Journal. Yet, as Bob shook hands with the senior U.S. Senator in what should have been nothing but a gracious business setting, Reid said, "I hope you go out of business." Later in his public speech, Reid said he wanted to let everyone know that he wants the Review Journal to continue selling advertising because the Las Vegas Sun is delivered inside the Review Journal. Such behavior cannot go unchallenged. You could call Reed's remark ugly and be right. It certainly was boorish, asinine, that goes without saying. But to fully capture the magnitude of Reed's remark and to stop him from doing the same thing to others, it must be called what it was, a full-on threat perpetrated by a bully who has forgotten that he was elected to office to protect Nevadans, not sound like he's shaking them down. No citizen should expect this kind of behavior from a U.S. senator. It is certainly not becoming of a man who is the majority leader in the U.S. Senate, and it absolutely is not what anyone would expect from a man who now asks Nevadans to send him back to the Senate for a fifth term. If he thinks he can push the state's largest newspaper around by exacting some kind of economic punishment in retaliation for not seeing eye to eye with him on matters of politics, I can only imagine how he pressures businesses and individuals who don't have the wherewithal of the Review Journal. For the sake of all who live and work in Nevada, we can't let this bully behavior pass without calling out Senator Reed. If he'll try it with the Review Journal, you can bet that he's tried it with others. So today, we serve notice on Senator Reed that this creepy tactic will not be tolerated. We won't show you, we won't allow you to bully us, and if you try it with anyone else, count on going through us first. That's a promise, not a threat. And it's a promise to our readers, not to you, Senator Reed. That's interesting. I heard that Reed's in big trouble, you know, as far as his potential re-election goes. Daily presidential tracking poll. The Rasmussen Reports daily presidential tracking poll for Monday shows that 30% of the nation's voters strongly approve of the way that Barack Obama is performing his role as president. 41% strongly disapprove, giving Obama a presidential approval index rating of minus 11. You know, so 29% are confident that Congress knows what it's doing. When it comes to the economy, if Americans could vote to keep or replace the entire Congress, 57% would throw out all the legislators and start over again. Just 29% would vote, or 25% rather, would vote to keep the Congress. So Obama, you know, he's down. He's going down. I think he's only got really somewhere I saw here, it was like a 47% approval rating. Well, let's see. Overall, 46% of voters say that they at least somewhat approve of the president's performance. That's the lowest level of total approval yet measured for Obama. 53% now disapprove, 81% of Democrats approve, while 83% of Republicans disapprove. As for those not affiliated with either major party, 66% disapprove. So that's kind of interesting, and he's falling like a rock in approval. You know, and I think it's going to be interesting to watch. As you know, because the first week Obama was in office, if you go back and listen to my podcast, I said it was a disaster. This guy was a disaster. And it's going to be interesting to watch as, you know, a broad variety of people are now seeing that this is a disaster. And so it's going to be interesting to watch watch the rats scurry, especially in Congress. See what else there is. Huge chest of drawers hoisted aboard space station, Cape Canaveral, Florida. The astronauts aboard the linked shuttle and station moved a giant chest of drawers from one spacecraft to the other and hitched it to the orbiting outpost. The Italian-built chest, nicknamed Leonardo, as in Leonardo da Vinci, is filled with nearly 8 tons of equipment and science experiments for the space station and its 6 residents, including a treadmill named after the Comedy Central's Stephen Colbert. Much of the gear is stored in portable racks. So, it's kind of interesting. AFL-CIO Dems push for new Wall Street tax. The nation's largest labor union and some allied Democrats are pushing a new tax that would hit big investment firms such as Goldman Sachs, reaping billions of dollars in profits while the rest of the economy sputters. The AFL-CIO, one of the Democrat Party's most powerful allies, would like to assess a small tax, about 0.1%, on every stock transaction. Small and medium-sized investors would hardly notice such a tax, but major trading firms such as Goldman, which reported $3.44 billion in profits during the second quarter of 2009, may see this as a significant threat to their profits. It would have two benefits: raise a lot of revenue and discourage speculative financial activity, said Thay Lee, policy director at AFL-CIO. The big disadvantage of most taxes is that they discourage some really productive activity, she said. This would discourage numerous financial transactions. People flip their assets several times in an hour or a day. They may make money, but does it really add to the productive base of the United States? Lee said that taxing every stock transaction 0.1% could raise between $50 billion and $100 billion per year, which could be used to pay for infrastructure projects and other spending priorities. She said that the tax could be applied nationwide or internationally. Interesting. Labor union pushing a tax increase. So, anyway, probably better be cutting this off and see if I can't get it uploaded and get headed to bed. Hope everyone is having a great week so far, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.